If you would, please open your Bibles. Open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 1. We will start reading at verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. This is God speaking from His Word. Let us stand when we hear Him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And so far our scripture reading. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever experienced the frustration of starting to watch a movie in the middle of the movie? And you go on and you realize, I don't have a clue what's going on here. I need to go to the beginning. Or maybe you took a book and you start reading in the middle of the book and you realize, this does not make sense. Shortcuts does not work. This is what happens in the most of Christianity in our day, where the most Christians just focus on the New Testament. You're spending time in the New Testament, skip the Old Testament books, and unfortunately many churches too just preach from the New Testament because they say we're a New Testament church. And as a result, many do not hold to many teachings of the Old Testament, and in this case what we're looking at today, the literal six-day creation account. But not only because of that is the creation account rejected, but many other parts. And I would like to show you today how important it is to start at Genesis 1, believe what God tells you, to show how it will affect also your belief of the New Testament, if you do not believe what God says from the beginning. For centuries, there were heresies in the church, coming out of the church, that is because of this error of not believing God as a supernatural God who reveals to us supernaturally the truth. For instance, in the 4th century, you have Docetism, that was teaching that Jesus' body was simply a semblance. It was not a real body. It was not really man. And also in the 4th century, you had Arianism that taught that Jesus was just another created creature. He was not there from the beginning, as the scripture tells us. And of course, we all remember the 6th century Pelagianism that was saying that man is not really sinful. Man is not affected by the original sin. He just needs a little spirituality to be right with God. And through all of this, even right from Adam, the inerrancy of Scripture has been under the attack. People see the Bible just as a product of human beings. It was written by man through the ages, and because it was a product of man, they would say it has several errors in the Bible. Well, let me submit to you that it all starts here with Genesis 1:1. All these heresies and the perversions are denying or radically limit the supernatural character of the Christian faith. There was a man that some of you are very familiar with the name of B.B. Warfield. He was a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, and he said in 1896 that the challenges the church has faced in history have a common root. And he's speaking about these heresies and errors in the church. He said it has a common root, and that is the denial of the supernatural. These heresies that I just mentioned, and also the errancy of Scripture, the belief that Scripture has errors in it, and all the perversions that we see in our society today start with the denial or the limiting of the supernatural character of God. Also the limiting of the supernatural character of His Word, and this limiting of the supernatural character of Christian faith. And it's in the history of the church that the Bible Presbyterian Church denomination that we are part of was fighting this very fight. And it led to the start of the BPC in 1938. And the fight was about the supernatural character of Christ and His works. Because even then, in the late 1800s and in the 1900s, they denied the wonders of Christ. You've heard these arguments before. Man tries to find some natural explanation of what happened that Lazarus walked out of the grave. Or some natural explanation of why the disciples saw Jesus after His death. The liberal church has bought right into this atheistic thinking where nothing is supernatural, but only the material realm is the material world is the only truth, they think. And so B.B. Warfield reacted to this 130 years ago, and I quote him. He said, "The supernatural is the very breath of Christianity's nostrils, and an anti-supernaturalistic atmosphere is to it the deadliest miasma. An absolute anti-supernaturalistic Christianity is therefore a contradiction in terms." He's right. You cannot be anti-supernaturalistic and Christian. It's a contradiction. They don't go together. But unfortunately, this anti-supernaturalistic views and beliefs have made its way into a broad part of the Christian church in our day. While God claims to be supernatural, in the first verse of the Bible, He says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Many in the church have given up on the literal six-day creation account in order to be more tolerant to the world. They give up on it so that probably a good intention, so that they can teach and speak to the world of our day. But in the process, they gave up so much more than what they anticipated. In our day, even some fairly conservative Presbyterian churches, the PCA and the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, allow pastors and elders to hold to one of four views on creation. Those are the large conservative Presbyterian denominations. So it makes it very hard to find a good pastor who holds to the six-day literal view. And it's rare to find even a seminary that is teaching the six-day literal view. Greenville Theological Presbyterian Seminary is one of the few that is still holding to it. Let me ask you, do you hold to that six-day view? Do you hold to what Scripture says, that God created the universe in 6 days? Are you standing strong on it? Because it's extremely important. It is important. If you cave on creation, the rest of the supernatural character of Scripture will tumble too. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there, God states that He is above the natural. He is supernatural. Even though it is completely ridiculous, the Big Bang teaching is popular among so many in our society today because it only focuses on that which is material, not the supernatural. Evolution removes the supernatural, and in a society that wants to do with the, away with the supernatural from our society and from the Word of God, it's very acceptable. Because our society will do anything in its power to remove any sense of supernatural from our society. However, the Bible begins by teaching God is a supernatural God. And if it is true, and it is true, then the God of the Bible cannot be understood in material terms. God is completely above creation. In other words, He is supernatural. And when the material, when the natural was created, we see here God already was. He existed from eternity past. You see, this is almost always where the biblical Christian and the liberal will have a conflict. Because the liberal tries to change the meaning of Scripture so that it will be more palatable, more acceptable by our society in this day. When the supernatural of creation is removed, why would you believe in the supernatural character of the virgin birth? Why would you hold to the miracles of Christ if you don't believe in the supernatural? And why would you believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, these are all on the same level. But the liberal will take it much further than that. If the Bible is not supernaturally given to us as the Word of God, why would we believe anything in the Bible that we really do not like? In other words, why would man submit to God when He says that women should subject themselves to their husbands? And why would they subject to God's Word if God's Word says that men, males, need to be leaders in the church? If it's not given to us supernaturally. For what matter would we hold to anything in the Bible that we would question? You see, if we deny the supernatural character of God and of His creation, and if you are consistent in that, you must also cave on the accounts of Jonah, on the virgin birth, the resurrection, the ascension, the bodily ascension of Christ, even eternal life. As a matter of fact, if you consistently hold only to the material, you have to end up in atheism or at least agnosticism. Unless this person is very inconsistent in his natural beliefs, he will be like the liberal theologian who was asked, "Do you pray?" And he said, "I don't pray, I meditate." It's important, because how can you pray to a God who is not supernatural and therefore would not be able to answer in your prayer, to give you any answer? So unless this person is very inconsistent, it has to lead to atheism. And unfortunately, I know personally several or many young men that were in theological studies that sat under these teachings, who are today non-believers or even agnostics. And they studied to be pastors. But they were consistent. That's where it led them. My brother and sister, do not cave on the claim of the supernatural of the Bible. God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that exists in the whole universe in the space of 6 days by simply speaking. Amen. The Bible claims a supernatural God who created everything supernaturally. And we therefore believe that, yes, Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. And we believe in a virgin birth. And we believe that Jesus fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There's no natural explanation necessary for it. It's not that they shared really well. They ate so much that a lot more were left. We believe Lazarus was truly dead and he was raised from the dead by Jesus calling him from the grave, and he walked out. And we believe the bodily ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven from where he will return in his second coming. We believe all the accounts of the Bible that God gives us, the supernatural God gives us in His Word, because we believe, because He is supernatural, He is capable to suspend, to overrule, and to sovereignly command the natural laws that we have in our society. You see, God supernaturally created the universe, and that's still that same supernatural God, that most powerful God, still sustains His creation into the finest detail. And it is because we have a supernatural God that we pray to Him, for He sovereignly answers our prayers and can make a difference in our lives. Verse 1 does not only show us God is a supernatural God, but it secondly shows us God supernaturally acts in creating things and sustaining His creation. And when we believe God is a supernatural being, we also believe in God's supernatural acts. We read about in the creation and through the rest of Scripture. God simply spoke, and the creation was there. No other being can speak anything into creation. Only our God in heaven. And it's therefore essential that the church will believe and defend this supernatural creation of the universe. God created order in His creation. Every time you take a certain item and you drop it from the 10th floor of a building, it will go to a certain speed just before it impacts the ground. It is so consistent that it can be calculated before you drop it, what the speed will be before it hits the ground. Why? Because the laws of nature are created by God and it's stable. In the same way, the certain amount of energy is necessary to move a certain object, and it will always be the same. It can be calculated how much energy it needs to move a certain object. Why? Because God gave us this laws of nature. He created it with His creation, and it is stable. But the relativistic view of nature, in other words, the evolutionist, has no way to explain why these laws always stay the same. Because remember, according to him, how creation came about, there was absolutely nothing. And in the nothingness, a big bang took place, and you have the whole universe. Only by chance. You see, once the supernatural God is denied as creator, there is no basis to explain any stability in the laws of nature. If an accidental Big Bang could cause everything to exist in nature, why should this universe obey any laws of nature? If it happened by chance, why is there stability in the laws of nature? The only true explanation is that what the one says who was there is that he created the universe, and he also with it created the laws of nature. God is explained in the Bible as a God of order. One of the commentators I read, Phillips, make it clear what is true of the laws of nature is also true of the moral law of God as revealed of the Bible. And I'm trying to pull it through from verse 1, from creation to God's supernatural deeds, and how that relate to how we live, how society operates. See, the same anti-supernaturalist argues that there is no supernatural authority, and because of that relativism, we can do whatever we feel like. They say because there is no supernatural authority, there is no objective moral order. So, adultery, no big deal. If you want to make a choice what gender you are, whether you want to change genders or something in between, do what you like. Homosexuality, it's a private matter. Nobody else's business. You make your choice, they say. But the truth is, the supernatural creator God who spoke everything into existence in the beginning of this, in the space of 6 days, continues to rule over His creation right now. And so this supernatural God, Elohim, as we saw in verse 1 last week, told us in the same chapter that He made only two genders. And He created them in one of the two genders and nothing in between. Look at verse 27 in this same chapter. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. He made only male and female. No confusion is necessary. If you're messed up in your mind, go to the biology, and that will tell you if you're a male or a female, and just live with it. Accept what you are. You see, this is not a social issue. It's also not an issue of a historical society that's pushing down their views on us today. No, this is a fixed truth that will never change. Because the eternal, supernatural God who gave us that law to the society that He created, He never changes. We do not have to ask if this is still true next year. It will be true till the end of the world. Just in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, we read that God says that He never changes. Also, in Hebrews chapter 13, the same thing is said of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. And so like the gravity laws or the energy laws of nature, the moral law of God will never change, for this supernatural God of the Bible is an unchanging God. That's how He gave us creation. It will not change. And that is true of all God's moral laws. You can look at the Ten Commandments, as Neil mentioned this morning. That's the summary of God's moral law. Just look through it. None of them will change. And maybe I can just remind you that the Sabbath laws is part of the moral law too. That does not change. But the liberal theologian wants to be liberated from all these stable and unchanging laws of God, yet he wants to hold fast to the promise of salvation. He wants to pick and choose what he wants to believe and what he would reject. Again, Phillips states the following, and I quote him, Christians must hold fast to a supernatural God who created the heavens and the earth. Unless God created all things according to His own will, including the moral order of life, we have no basis for opposing social anarchy. Not only is evolution pitted against biblical creation, but it also undermines any claim to a fixed biblical morality. He's absolutely correct. I hope you see the importance of this one verse, and especially also the context in which you find this verse, this chapter, the first two chapters of the Bible. And so, my brother and sister, if you give up in your mind, in your thinking, in your faith, the biblical teaching of the supernatural, six-day, literal creation of the universe, it is only by being highly inconsistent that you could possibly believe in the supernatural salvation by Jesus Christ. If you're in any way consistent when you give up on chapter 1 of the Bible, in Genesis 1, you have to be inconsistent to believe Jesus Christ saves. It takes a biblical faith in supernatural salvation to believe salvation in Jesus Christ. Because remember, the Bible tells us, what is the problem of man? It's sin, right? It's sin that brings this distance between us and God. Sin is removing us from the presence of God. Man transgressed against God and he stands guilty before God. In our sin, we all deserve, we say, and Scripture tells us, we all deserve eternal condemnation. But the Bible is clear, we cannot save ourselves from that. We cannot save ourselves with material means from that condition that we have before God. In other words, good works cannot save us. It takes a supernatural salvation to save us from that condition. It's impossible for a sinner. It's impossible for natural man to use natural means to save himself. Because Ephesians 2 says, we're dead, right? We're dead in our trespasses. It takes a supernatural act of Christ to make us spiritually alive. You see, there's no way you can believe that man is a sinner and therefore needs salvation and at the same time reject supernatural salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ in order for the sinner to be saved. We have to uphold supernatural claim of the Bible regarding Jesus' sinless life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. All of it supernatural. You don't hold to that. What is left of salvation? Nothing. When a professing Christian gives into the pressure of our culture to deny the supernatural creation of the universe and believe in evolution, he logically has to surrender the supernatural resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. Without that supernatural, there is no salvation. Have you given up on it? Have you given up on the literal six-day creation of God that he did in the space of 6 days? And God didn't use 6 days. On each day he just spoke and it happened. My brother and sister, a large part of the Christian society here around us in the middle of the Bible Belt does not believe in the literal six-day creation. They've given up on this chapter. This is a chapter that they would say is it's a poem, but not history. And as a result, the most of the liberal churches in our society have become nothing but a social club. Let me be clear. We're not divided by insignificant play of words. We're divided by a wide fundamental difference, the difference between the truth and a lie. You either believe the truth or you believe a lie. And although these differences come to the surface in the teachings of the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection of Christ and the view of what sin is and many other more issues, at the center of it is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Central to this difference is the question, do you believe in the teaching of the Bible concerning the supernatural? Supernatural God in an act of supernatural power and majesty created the universe, and by a supernatural grace, he saves sinners from their condition of sin before him in Jesus Christ. The moment you start accommodating the world with their anti-supernaturalism, you are playing right into the hand of Satan. Should we accommodate Satan? Should we give in to these truths of the Bible? Let me submit to you, not one inch. We should not back off one inch. May it never be. Warfield said, removing one bit of the supernatural from Christianity, and I quote him, is to eviscerate Christianity of all that makes it a redemptive scheme, of all that has given it power on the earth, and of all that made it a message of hope and joy to lost men. You back off on the truth of Scripture, and you are losing hope. For our hope is in the God of the Bible, who is indeed supernatural, and he acts supernatural. Did you buy into this natural view of the world, maybe even a little bit? Sometimes we see it in people trying to explain the creation with some diplomacy. Just back off from the hard truths, but just in a little different way. Say, well, yes, God created the world, but those 6 days, they are not literal days, they would say. It's a day age. It was a few million years each day. My brother and sister, you do not come to that conclusion by reading this text. You come to that conclusion by reading Darwin. Because of the scientific world of our culture, we sometimes stand embarrassed. Standing before people who do not believe the Bible and tell them, I believe this, what the Bible tells me. Are you sometimes embarrassed by these truths? Let me give you an encouragement with one word. Don't. Do not be embarrassed. Take the mocking that will come to you. Take those funny looks and take it proudly. Because we love God and because we love our society, we should stand unmovable on the truth of the Bible. On the supernatural Bible with its supernatural message of salvation. Do not give up an inch. Do not be embarrassed by someone who believes in a fairy tale of a big bang that created everything we see around us. You should not be embarrassed. In the beginning, God did indeed create the heavens and the earth, and he created it in the space of 6 days. Let us stand faithfully on that truth. Let us stand on the supernatural God and his natural works, his supernatural works. Let us stand faithful on that hope of his supernatural salvation. Amen. Lord God in heaven, we thank you that you are a God so different from the material world we know. Completely transcendent. Above that which you created. And Lord, we bow before you, for you are the holy, almighty, majestic, sovereign God. And we thank you, Lord, that you who existed from all eternity and will rule into all eternity is also the God become part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, for ruling over us, for guiding us, for protecting us. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. It is in Jesus' holy name we do pray. Amen.